the back, besides talking about the Supreme Court ruling from earlier in the day, we want to touch on Mother Nature and Tropical Storm Debbie that is literally stalking Florida, especially the panhandle during the evening on Monday, dumping what's been described as sheets of rain all over Big Bend, the marshes, and the towns all the way down the peninsula. My family lives outside of Tampa on an island, Davis Island, in fact, and I understand they had flooding there. My brother Patrick joins us now. Pat, we're hearing that maybe 6 to 12 inches of rain in the next couple of days. What's it like at this point?
Well, so far for us, it's been there's been about 12 inches of rain. It's been steady rain, which has led to a lot of flooding, but not flash flooding, which seems to be the difference here, just because of the way Florida is situated, and we're so just barely above the water table that when we have flash, you know, big storms, you tend to get that flash flooding. This has been like this slow and steady start to fill up the streets. So I guess the difference is right now we have some bridges closed. We have some roads closed. We have anyone who's ever been in Tampa, they might be familiar with Bayshore. It's a pretty well-known kind of a rodeo drive of wealthy homes, and that's closed, and people have canoes out on that street. And there's another fairly well-known road, Gandy, which connects to one of the bridges into Pinellas County, and that's closed and flooded. And, of course, the Skyway, which is a pretty well-known bridge. And that's been closed because when you come off it, you're in lowlands. It's so that there's a lot of flooding. But oddly enough, you know, the flip side of that is, you know, we got our mail today. So, you know, people work today. And, you know, it's kind of same old for most people. So we don't have that, you know, it's a hurricane, things boarded up, people leaving type of flooding. Just that slow and steady rain that I guess if we got hit a little more, you know, who knows, we'll all be trapped. But that's kind of where it stands at the moment. No, you know, just more of an inconvenience than anything else, I guess.
So probably a lot of people, you said some people were working, but I bet a lot of people stayed home, and some, especially in some of those beach areas, because St. Petersburg, which isn't too far away from you, they were hit by those high winds, and they had a twister that touched down on Sunday night.
Right. And there's been some areas that have had those weird little weather events like that. There was there were some twisters that hit in certain areas. Some of them weren't very populated, which is horrible for the people that live there, but you know, a blessing for other counties that are more populated. And water spouts and all sorts of weird weather activity. And there has been certain areas that had to close. In fact, I had a hearing that was in down in Naples today, and that got canceled due to, you know, folks not being able to get there. So it kind of depends on where you are and whether, you know, you need to close or not. But all in all, it's sort of a hodgepodge kind of a deal. So it's no 2004 where we had three hurricanes in a row, but it's more, again, it's more of an inconvenience and some flooding, but not real big damage yet, as far as I know, at least in our area. And we have pretty good winds, but, you know, you're not going to see any film of, stop sign getting blown down the street or, you know, someone's tin roof blown down the street, at least at this point, fingers crossed.
Although we did see, I'll tell the listeners that you sent me a picture of my nephew Owen, and it looked like he was now, you know, he's 11 years old, but it looked like there was water that was almost up to his waist.
Well, yeah, that was that was for your eyes only, because I guess if the people at the youth services see that, maybe they'll take him away from us. But yeah, we let him run around out in the street when we had a little flooding. We have a particularly bad intersection that floods, but that's drained a little bit too. But we had about a foot out there for a little bit, and at the end of the island, the water's coming over the seawall. And I'll put it to you this way, and I'm sure people in different places can relate. Right now, it's the kind of event where we're going out to the end of the island and you're taking pictures, and people are there with their kids taking photos and walking the dog and just kind of enjoying the sight of Mother Nature, as opposed to saying, uh-oh, we got to get the heck out of here. So yeah. That's where we are still right now. It's wet. It's messy. There's flooding in different spots. Some roads are closed. It's making for interesting, travel, and you're going to get the pictures of people on surfboards that you always get, or the kids being pulled on an inner tube by dad and his, you know, F-250. But we're still in that realm, at least here. I don't want to make light of it because I know there are some other counties, Hardy County.
Yeah, that are
hit. Down in outside of Sarasota, they had a twister touchdown there and caused some damage. So it depends on where you are. But right here in most of Hillsborough County, it's wet, it's messy, and it's roads closed. But mostly business as usual.
All right, so stay safe, bro, and let's hope that it stays that way. Thanks for coming on.
Well, it's great talking to you for a change, not about some sad case or someone dying or some terrible ruling. So that was this was nice.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care, sis.
Bye-bye. All right, so you heard what my brother had to say about Tropical Storm Debbie. It's interesting because I saw a shot of Alligator Drive, which I've been down many times, and a whole section of it is completely washed out. And this is Alligator Point, Florida. And out of Tampa, as he was saying, it depended because in the Tampa Bay area, you still had high wind, you had heavy rain, and he talked about the Bayshore and the fact that people were in canoes, which is just a stone's throw away from where he is. You could literally walk to it. And he also mentioned the fact that there were people who were trying to avoid a tornado, which I said is the craziest thing, the fact that you had these twisters that were popping up through the storm system. And they say that about 35,000 houses and businesses lost electricity. And, you know, slowly we're starting to get it back. But the low-lying areas are always the ones that get snookered with that flooding, that awful, awful flooding. And the National Hurricane Center, as of right before I jumped on the air, they're saying that torrential rains and flooding are going to continue for at least the next several days anyway, especially in parts of the Florida Panhandle and North Florida. Now, there's a place that, it's a great place to go to, St. George Island. And the bridge leading to St. George Island, which is a vacation spot along the Panhandle, was closed to everyone unless you lived there or if you had a business there, because the island had no power and trees were blown in half, the palm trees there, the roads passable but barely, and people there are just trying to hang in. And of course, the other thing of this, and I haven't said it, but Governor Rick Scott declares a statewide emergency and, you know, allows laws to be put into place against price gouging, because that's what happens, sadly. That's when the vultures come out and they try to get you when they know you're desperate. So Debbie in the Gulf of Mexico, winds 45, 50 miles an hour. That's the latest that we have. And we'll see, you know, where it all ends up, because that can change in the next day or so. That's how this thing unfolds with a tropical storm. I don't think it's going to get worse from everything that I've seen, but there is a chance you might have a couple more of those twisters that will bear down, and that's the rough stuff. Whew. And that Howard Franklin Bridge that connects Tampa, and it's how you get to the airport, St. Petersburg, 8-lane bridge. That was just awful. They closed that on Monday night too. The southbound lanes later opened, but it was pretty rough going for a time. Hang with us, more to come around the bend.
Survival is not about the end of the world. It's not about a hypothetical plane crash or the latest violent storm. Survival is about the satisfaction of knowing you can take care of yourself and your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. CampingSurvival.com was started in 1956. No, not the .com part, the survival part. CampingSurvival.com has over 17,000 urban, wilderness, and preparedness items. Supreme customer service. Very low shipping and no games. We look around to make sure we have the lowest prices, and CampingSurvival.com is 100% USMC veteran owned. Don't base your survival on the latest spring up on the internet company. Do business with an authority on survival. CampingSurvival.com. Use coupon code GCN at checkout, and CampingSurvival.com will take 5% off your order. CampingSurvival.com. Confidence born of preparation.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources, June 25th, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1,569.60. A one-ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,609.15, $804.58 for a half ounce, or $402.29 for a quarter ounce. That's $1,609.15, $804.58, and $402.29.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-685-9751. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-685-9751. That's 800-685-9751. Again, 800-685-9751.
Tropical storm Debbie, but there's other rough weather coming out of Washington, and the big Supreme Court ruling was the key thing that everybody was talking about, certainly today, not just in the Beltway, but outside of the Beltway, too. Is it fair or foul? Did the Supreme Court do the right thing? What happened was a big chunk of the law was actually struck down. However, the most controversial part of it is the, you know, the show me your papers clause, if you will, was kept intact. So that was constitutional. Everything else was thrown out, for lack of a way to describe it. There's a shortcut for you. That's it. That's the thing that was upheld. And now it's a question of what the enforcement will be in Arizona and ultimately the other states who have laws similar to Arizona that are trying to enforce them. A hard dissent from Justice Scalia, who said that Obama's immigration stance just boggles the mind when the feds do nothing, and then they try to tie the hands of the state because the states are being, frankly, under siege financially because of the thousands of illegal immigrants and what it's doing to the schools and the hospitals and whatnot, and Scalia said Obama's immigration enforcement policy is lax, saying that the federal government doesn't want to enforce immigration laws, which leaves the states really no choice. What do they do? And the Arizona immigration law is what Scalia said should have stood as it was. So the key thing here is boggles the mind, fair or foul. My take on this has been all along that it's fair because of what has happened in Arizona. It was the number one kidnapping state, by the way, forever and a day because of all the crime that was going through there. And people were being kidnapped and things were happening. Terrible things were happening in Arizona. I know several people that left. They had enough. They didn't want to roll the dice anymore. And they loved living in the desert. They loved living in Arizona. And I think you're going to see that this ruling is going to have some influences on other states, not just some of the states like Alabama that already have an immigration law, which, by the way, that's being challenged. I think you're going to see other states that step up as well and try to do what Arizona's doing. So states that are seeking to try to take it into their, you know, in immigration enforcement into their own hands are definitely still in an uphill climb. Because once the Supreme Court reined in part of Arizona's law, then what happened with Homeland Security after that, the high court decision started to be digested on Monday. Because they also struck down three provisions in the law, including one that allowed local police to arrest anyone they suspected who committed a deportable offense. And the central part of it, like I said, the law that looking at the papers law stays in play if somebody's stopped for some other traffic violation. So that still stands. However, the Department of Homeland Security stopped backing a program that they called 287G. It's always about the numbers, isn't it? Which allows the feds to deputize local police officers or sheriff's deputies or whatnot to make immigration-based arrests. So Homeland Security says that the administration determined that the agreements are not useful now in states that have an Arizona kind of law on the books, and Customs has rescinded the agreement in Arizona with the state itself and with three local enforcement agencies. So they said, forget it. That means that even if local police try to step up immigration checks, they'll have to rely on the feds to make the arrests. That means ICE is in play here. ICE would have to respond because they're going to get calls in Arizona. There's going to be a rise in calls and probably other states too, and they're going to be asked about immigration status. So they say that ICE is not going to respond to the scene unless the person in question meets certain criteria. So in other words, Department of Homeland Security is going to play tough, and they're not going to play along, and they're not going to help out Arizona. So the cops are going to be frustrated, and they're going to have to make these calls if they have somebody in their grasp, and then ICE is going to have to decide, are they going to show up, do something about it, or not? And this definitely tweaks the problem of what Arizona can do. I think it's smart that was left in play, but I think part of the effectiveness was taken out of it. States have to do, I mean, look, they're losing the ability, your state is losing the ability to take problems that you see that you're facing and to do something about it. And if you, so you're stuck. What do you do when you see this crime that's on the rise, the massive drugs, the massive guns, the problems? What are you supposed to do when you're the governor of that state or you're one of the state level lawmakers? You're stuck. You're wedged in on this one. And trust me, Arizona is a place where it was really bad. I mean, this isn't just nonsense that we're throwing out here. It's the truth. There are all kinds of problems that have happened as a result. Immigration laws in states like Utah, Alabama, Georgia, Indiana, and South Carolina are also blowing in the wind. There's an uncertain fate to what's going to happen in those states, too. What's the impact on all of those states who have tougher immigration laws? I mean, they're not identical to Arizona's, but there are things that are very, very close to it. When the feds won't respond, what do you do? The president released a written statement saying that the decision makes it clear that a patchwork of state laws is not a solution to our broken immigration system. It's part of the problem. But I see it as nobody has wanted to take the bull by the horns and do the tough things that you're going to have to do because this has been allowed to fester for too long. You may have a different take on it. You might agree. If you were going to throw in your 2 cents, what do you think? Fair or foul, first of all, in the Supreme Court ruling and what the president says, that state laws, hey, it's not going to solve the problem. It's just part of the problem. Except for he didn't do anything to fix it. Till the very end, with the one deportation thing stopping 30 and under, which doesn't really do much. What Department of Homeland Security is saying, oh, we can focus on the criminals, but I'd like to see that in action. Because I'm not really buying what they're selling based on the fact that I have talked to enough Border Patrol agents to know what's happening out there and what they're encountering with some of these crews. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-KATE, or send me an email at americatonight.net. I know you're alive and out there with one eye open, maybe two eyes open. Maybe you're on your final cup of coffee. Some people don't like to drink coffee into the wee hours. Me, personally, I love a good cup of joe. You know where my favorite is? Wawa. And Wawa recently was in the news. And I'm not going to tell you what it was in the news for. You have to figure it out. We'll see if any of you can figure it out. So Jan Brewer, the governor, says the assault on Arizona continues and that, look, they have the right to secure their borders. It's the same thing that she's been talking about. In the meantime, the justices say this show your papers thing, which they upheld, they say it's not racial profiling. Eric Holder, the attorney general, who could be in contempt by Thursday, depending on what the vote is from the House, he says he's going to closely monitor the situation to see if there is any kind of racial profiling, and saying that hopefully the Supreme Court ruling doesn't mean that there is a license to engage in doing that profiling, that that's not what the Supreme Court ruling did. In fact, Holder warned Arizona law enforcement types, the sheriffs and sheriff's deputies and the police and whatnot, that the Justice Department is going to be watching closely. They're going to closely monitor the impact of SB 1070, the Arizona law, to ensure compliance with federal immigration law and with civil rights laws. Here's my question. Who's monitoring Eric Holder? Boy, he comes out with some strong statements when he can deflect everything away from him. All right, Dan Epstein joins us, or Epstein joins us next, from Call for Action. He's the executive director. We're going to talk about lobbying and an appointee in the Obama administration and how that raised the red flag. Stay with us.
Did you know that 50% of heart attacks are brought on by infections? Did you know that hospitals are breeding grounds for antibiotic-resistant bugs like MRSA? The environment is infected with parasites, and the mild winter means ticks with Lyme disease, mosquitoes with West Nile virus, and cold and flu viruses will be on the rise. Protect yourself with Nature's Natural Antiparasitic, Antiviral, Antifungal, Antibiotic, Allicin, the Heart of Garlic. Get concentrated protection with Ali-C and Ali-Van from AffinityHealthProducts.com. One capsule of Ali-C equals 40 cloves of garlic or 100 garlic pills. With no garlic breath, Ali-Van has Allicin in spray, liquid, and cream forms with three times more strength than leading brands and cost less. Go to AffinityHealthProducts.com, spelled A-F-F-I-N-I-T-Y, HealthProducts.com, or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126. Protect yourself with Ali-C or Ali-Van from AffinityHealthProducts.com.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain, not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkyd.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection guaranteed or your money back.
You've been lied to. Lied to by corrupt Washington politicians and the Wall Street propaganda machine. My name is Brett Kitchen, and I want to give you a free copy of my Inc. magazine best-selling book, Safe Money Millionaire, because more Americans than ever are worried about having enough money in retirement, frustrated with losses in their 401ks or mutual funds, and upset about skyrocketing government debt and being ravaged by taxes. The Wall Street casino has recently had all the previous gains of 2012 wiped out, and after losing 35% of my money when the market crashed several years ago, I said enough. Since then, I discovered an IRS-approved way to safely grow my money 12 to even 17%, cut taxes dramatically, but also have my money protected when the next crash comes. Call 888-885-8820 to get a free copy of my new book, Safe Money Millionaire, where I share this powerful tool that people like Walt Disney and JCPenney use to safely grow their wealth. Call 888-885-8820. Get your free book right now at 888-885-8820.
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrients. Nutrient-dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.
All right, he's not a stranger to this show. Dan Epstein, of course, from Cause of Action. And what Cause of Action is trying to do now is looking at the Treasury Department Inspector General to figure out why or investigate what's happening with the Internal Revenue Service as far as overseeing lobbying coalitions. Do you hear me, America? So, Dan, thanks for coming on as always. It's fun to have you. You're like a regular here on America Tonight. We're going to have to buy you a seat at the bar, at the invisible bar that we have here, but where we let it just all fly. And this is a big one. And why should we be so concerned about this?
Hey, Kate, thanks so much for having me. Well, as you know, Cause of Action is a group out there to really ensure that the federal government is not wasting taxpayer dollars. It is ensuring that activities such as lobbying and electioneering activities are properly overseen. And why lobbying coalitions, or what others have called stealth lobbying, is such an important issue is because if you're someone in D.C. or even a group out in Texas or whomever who engages in lobbying or pays lobbyists to get federal dollars on your behalf, you have to register under something called the Lobbying Disclosure Act database, and you usually are part of an entity that's for-profit, pays taxes, or maybe non-profit, and has to still file with the Internal Revenue Service about what its activities are. The problem is that we have information showing that there are groups out there, whether it's big pharmaceutical companies or even political organizations, that are creating these coalitions in order to engage in lobbying without ever having to report anything to the Internal Revenue Service or anything to the Lobbying Disclosure Act database. So essentially what they do is they engage in lobbying under the radar of the Internal Revenue Service and under the radar of the ethics watchdogs in Congress. The problem with this is that essentially it gives an incentive to the public to actually engage in lobbying activities without ever reporting what you're in fact doing, who in fact is the registrant for the lobbying activities, who's the lobbyist. And so it essentially tells the lobbying world, hey, you don't have to be a registered lobbyist. You don't have to engage in all of the kind of ethical and compliance guidelines that prevent the types of things like the Abramoff scandal from happening. And so essentially what we did is we wrote to the Internal Revenue Service and we said, hey, there's lots of policy reports out here in Washington saying that there's a risk of stealth lobbying and outsized political influence happening without proper disclosure and compliance. We want to know, what is the Internal Revenue Service doing about this? Are you looking at coalition lobbying? Is it something that's happening by corporations? Do they need to report these things? You know, we have an election coming up. What's going to happen if all of these groups decide, hey, we can lobby without any kind of compliance or requirements under the law and essentially engage in what would otherwise be illegal activity with a checkbox from the IRS? And we got a response from the Internal Revenue Service that simply stated, there are no responsive documents, which any way you want to slice it basically is a message from the Internal Revenue Service that we are not doing anything in terms of oversight over stealth lobbying. We're not determining whether or not political nonprofits that engage in this need to be incorporated. We're not doing anything in terms of overseeing the for-profit entities that are doing this. And so that's why we've written to the Inspector General, J. Russell George, of the Treasury Department and say, hey, this is really serious because essentially there's a message out there that there's no point of forming a lobbying group or forming an independent entity because you can use the stealth coalition lobbying to get around the IRS requirements, to get around the Lobbying Disclosure Act requirements. And we need you to investigate this, and that's why we wrote to Treasury Inspector General J. Russell George.
And so far, what was the response that you got?
Well, you know, we know that the Inspector General has received our request for an investigation. You know, as with all of these things, he has no obligation to respond to a small little non-government organization. But we're going to press them on this issue, and you know, it's not. We're not concerned of just the fact that the IRS has not even looked into this issue. That's really serious. But what we think is incredibly serious is that this signals the kind of two-faced approach that this administration has taken to ethics, has taken to oversight. Remember, the president had, as an executive order, an ethics pledge that apparently every political appointee had to sign to say that they were not going to be engaging in any communications with previous lobbyists, that if they were a former lobbyist, they would not be communicating with certain entities or working on certain matters which were part of their lobbying portfolio. And that was a big pledge by the current president. What we're seeing now with the fact that this is an Internal Revenue Service that's not going after stealth lobbying is a signal that we have no certification from this administration that it's actually taking its pledge seriously. Because for all extents and purposes, if you're having coalition lobbies develop and are communicating with political staff in the administration that quote-unquote signed this pledge, because this pledge only applied to Lobbying Disclosure Act registrations and all these other sorts of requirements that we know the stealth lobbying doesn't have to go through, then essentially the ethics pledge has no teeth so long as you have the lobbying coalitions interacting with political staff in the current administration.
Yeah.
Keep in mind that also what we have seen is, look at the General Services Administration with Jeff Neely. We
yes.
talked about this previously, but we actually wrote to the Center for Council on Inspector Generals for Integrity and Efficiency. This is a council that's supposed to oversee the Inspector Generals. It's run by Jeffrey Zients, who's the director of the Office of Management and Budget, right back in the White House. We wrote to them saying, hey, look, with this GSA scandal, with all the commemorative coin spending that's going on, all this wasteful spending, what are you guys doing to oversee the watchdogs? What are you doing to make sure the watchdogs are doing their job? We got a blanket response that basically revealed that SIGI, which is this Council of Inspector Generals for Integrity and Efficiency run by the OMB director at the White House, Jeffrey Zients, they're basically a paper tiger. They told us, hey, listen, we don't do anything. We don't conduct any kinds of investigations, but thank you for bringing this to our attention. It basically means that this administration, which has said it's the most transparent and ethical in history, lacks any real oversight or accountability when it comes to transparency and ethics. In fact, it's a complete two-faced move because what we're now seeing is, remember, this executive order, the president said the executive office of the president is subject to the ethics pledge. But
sure.
Guess what the executive office of the president is not subject to? FOIA, which means that if the public actually wanted to see whether the executive office of the president was itself conducting any ethics violations or any other kinds of violations, they're not subject to public disclosure, which means that the most transparent government in history, the most transparent president in history, is completely opaque when it comes to his own ethics.
I love that passion in you. And that was the red flag that went up when you found that out and said, hey, listen, there's no, talk about no oversight here. And who knows how much this goes on? We can only imagine what we're talking about. And then we're talking about probably who knows how much money, who knows what direction. I mean, really, this is a lot of push-pull here, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, Kate, what Cause of Action wants to understand is we have heard from groups out there that are taxpayer advocate groups. You know, you think about the Tea Party,
yep,
which is really just out there, you know, trying to advocate and do grassroots education on behalf of, you know, the American taxpayer. And yet we have heard that the IRS has gone after these groups. It hasn't granted them exemption. It's essentially put a hold up. And this is something where you've had members of Congress express direct concern. Well, what I want to know is, why is the IRS spending its time not allowing educational nonprofit groups to educate the public, and at the same time, it knows that stealth lobbying is a major problem, yet it refuses to conduct any oversight over that? Why is it wasting taxpayer dollars going after groups that disagree with the president's agenda, while at the same time not doing anything about corrupt stealth lobbying that's happening?
Because it's politics as usual.
That's right.
That's what it is.
That's exactly what it is. This is an administration that came to Washington by saying it was going to change politics as usual. And you know what we've seen? We've seen a new brand of Washington politics that is worse than anything in the previous three decades.
Yeah, and I can only imagine. I mean, if you were able to come up with any documents or anything into, like you say, the stealth coalition, the stealth lobbying, really, and the fact that there's no accountability here, can you only imagine what would be uncovered? I don't think that there would be nothing under the rocks, do you?
Yeah, no, and, you know, Kate, this whole problem arose because, you know, there was this person who is being put up for the assistant secretary position at the Department of Homeland Security, Tara O'Toole. And Tara O'Toole, on her disclosure, anytime you're going to get Senate confirmed, you have to file a disclosure before the Senate, basically said she was not a registered lobbyist. The problem is that she was formerly the director of the Center for Biosecurity at the University of Pittsburgh Medical School. Okay, the Center for Biosecurity is, and no one disagrees with this, a lobbying coalition. It essentially runs a coalition that is paid in for through a pool of assets by big pharmaceutical companies that essentially use the coalition as a front to lobby Congress for their interests. She was the president of this. And yet because this was a stealth coalition, she did not feel like it was her obligation to disclose that she had any ties to that or that she was a registered lobbyist. And now she's a presidentially appointed and Senate-confirmed bureaucrat at the Department of Homeland Security. And that's why this whole problem began, because we realized that there are people who are clearly engaging in lobbying, clearly engaging in the source of communications that anyone would agree are lobbying communications, and yet she was able to avoid oversight by saying that, hey, look, this is a stealth coalition. It's a lobbying coalition. The IRS doesn't do anything about this. No one does anything about this. I don't have to disclose anything here. Hey, and that's why we wrote to the IRS to say, hey, what are you guys doing about this? IRS comes back and says, guess what? There are no responsive records. We don't really care about this. So it gives the signal to this to the people in the public in this administration. This administration is putting forward clear lobbyists who are going to have political decision-making power, okay, who are going to get ethics waivers under the so-called ethics pledge executive order. And it just shows that this whole idea of transparency, oversight, accountability, and ethics is just another charade. And the president has had several of these. And Cause of Action is just continuing to find through its investigations that all of these, big rhetorical blow-ups by the president are nothing but charades.
Yeah, I agree. Dan Epstein, thanks so much for coming on. Executive Director of Cause of Action. We'll see where it leads. Thank you. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Iodine protection packs from HempUSA.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
There's a couple of ways you can do that. Remember, you can always shoot us an email at americatonight.net. You can also download Press 4 from the website. It's a very cool app. If you have an iPhone, an Android, any kind of phone, even a crappy old phone, you know, the flip phones, they're not crappy. They're probably cheaper. You're probably smarter to have those. You save money. Anyway, you can still get Press 4, and if you do, it means there's more ways that you can get to the show. You're not signing up to give out all your information. You're not signing up for a dream home that you have no chance of winning. Sorry, HGTV. Or some other crazy timeshare nonsense that you have to sit through. But it is a way that during the day when you want to rant, for example, if you had heard about the Supreme Court ruling, you're awake, drinking some coffee, hanging out, and you wanted to rant about that or something else, all you have to do is hit press 4 and then say, America Tonight, rant, and then, boom, your 2 cents is already in. Plus, we're giving away an iPhone, the new, cool iPhone. I heard the camera on the thing is unbelievable. Plus, it's thinner, and it's fast. That's the thing. It's fast. They just get better and better and better. So you could win an iPhone from us. Somebody's going to win it. Or $200. You just have to enter the contest. As long as you're not related to me, you are in. So go to the website, it's a layup and enter the contest. It's just too easy. All right, speaking of contests, here's the key thing with the immigration laws. We're, again, coming around those final couple of turns. The who won, both sides actually, depending on what you listen to during the day, said that they won. And we know we only have two teams to play on right now. Of course, you can be independent. You can have independent thought, and you can be praying for that third party. Always looking for that third party, I'm telling you. But Obama and a lot of the Democrats say that, yeah, they won because the Supreme Court struck down a lot of the parts of the Arizona law that were squarely aimed at stopping illegal immigration. 5-3 was the ruling. It gave Republicans something to say, we won. And then the core part of it, the heart of the law, allowing police to check the immigration status of someone they stop, is intact. So both sides saying that they won. For, you know, who won? If you're going to, you know, it is about winners and losers, right? It is a contest, I guess, in a sense, a very serious contest. I think that it is a victory for Arizona in a sense, but it is also a loss because of what the law could have been. Now it's a question of how they unfold this. Got to watch out because everybody's going to be looking to claim racial profiling, and then they could challenge that in court. They have systems in place to make sure, and already there have been cops and sheriff's deputies that have gone through this thing, and they're going to watch this because they don't want to be called for racial profiling and have this turn into another case. The president said he was concerned about the practical impact of the what's now being called papers, please, you know, asking for someone's papers. So, and he went on to say that he thought that you had to be careful of the law, that it's not enforced in any kind of a manner that undermines the civil rights of Americans. But see, we go back to the same thing. Somebody's in the country illegally, and, I mean, let's be really honest. You're telling me, in one sense, illegals have more claims to being an American and all the things that being an American entails than some Americans do. It's like that whole purging the voter rolls in Florida. Why would somebody not want to have real voters voting? Any voters, registered voters, voters, people that are actual voters who are American citizens. It's crazy. I don't think it's racial profiling. I don't think it's calling people out. Give me a break. And so what would be the reason for that paranoia? Oh, you mean because you want to be able to put dead people on the rolls? You want to be able to trot out as many people, whether they're here legally or not, to be able to vote? That's ridiculous. And there was a hard opinion, a dissent written by Justice Scalia, who called Obama out for the fact that the federal government isn't willing to enforce any kind of an immigration policy. You know, at the very least, this is kind of a muddled thing. There is no question about it. It's muddled. And I don't believe at all that it's racial profiling. I don't believe it's going to lead to racial profiling. And how many times have I been pulled over and asked for my ID? I, just like the rest of you, I'm asked for my ID for anything. Whether it's just a warning, going through a stop sign, I'm trying to think of things that I've ever been stopped for, or a busted light. I had a busted headlight one time. The headlight was still there, and it just was weaker than the other one. And so, actually, he was trying to help me. A lot of times, I've been pulled over where someone's helping me, and that's a good thing. But they always ask for the ID. They always ask because that's part of the deal. They always ask for your driver's license and your registration. And it's very telling that John McCain and John Kyle, the two senators from Arizona, would have a joint statement together saying that they are going to fight to secure the southern border. And because they're saying that, the government's enforcing of immigration rules is based on a political agenda and not the laws as written by Congress, which is true. If you go back and you look at the law has not been enforced. and this is what we have disintegrated into. But we can't go back in time. We can't go back in time and tweak this and change things so that it hasn't gotten to the point where we've gotten, where we have this fight, this constant fight over what should happen with immigration, what's not happening with immigration, and what's the political part of the whole deal. You know, in a speech last week, the president said he would offer long-term solutions that would replace and supersede what's been happening with immigration. Meaning Romney said that, and Obama said he was going to halt deportations. It was that executive privilege that there'd be maybe 800 to 850,000 undocumented immigrants that were brought here as kids at some point, at least 7 out of 10 of them, and they would be given a chance to work, to which we've had people on that say, well, what work are they going to be doing? Because we want to know, what about the job situations? That's, you know, that's the problem. And so the answer is, the jobs are slim to none. Slim to none. That's what's happening when some of the kids get out of school, whether it's high school or whether it's college or, you know, whatever it, you know, ultimately turns out to be. So the question is, how do you feel about the Supreme Court ruling on SB 1070? Is it, do you think it's now is something that will help the people in Arizona? Do you think that it hurts the people? And what about someone's family background? You know, here's what somebody said to me in an argument. Well, were all of your grandparents born in the United States? And what if they had to go through that? And to which I would answer, yes, my family did have to go through that. They had to go through and be, whether it was through Canada, through Ellis Island, and become a citizen. They had to wait in line, the answer is. And it's not grandparents, it's the generation before them, on one side anyway. So I would say, you know, absolutely, they had to do what they could do to get a lawyer to become an American citizen, etc. And this is the problem, the people waiting, the people coming across, the people given the jobs, the people who don't have the jobs. We could go back and forth this way in the entire show. We could take all 4 hours and do it, and we have in the past. If you have any thoughts, send them to me, americatonight.net.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.